West Coast College Training, July 4th through 11th, Occidental, California. Title, Christ Our Portion. Morning Session 1, Message 3. Learning to set our mind on the things which are above. Scripture reading, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, and Ephesians 2, 14 through 16.
Let's begin by opening our Bibles, right? Opening the Word. And let's turn to Colossians 3. We'll read verses 1 through 4. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And let's have the sisters read verse 1, brothers 2, sisters 3, brothers 4. All right, read it with an exercise spirit.
Amen.
And brothers will support by saying amen. 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 Amen.
Set your mind on the things which are above.
Right.
Not on the things which are on the earth.
Amen.
For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Amen.
When Christ our life is manifested, then you also will be manifested with Him in glory.
Amen. So this morning's title, the title of this morning is learning. Learning to set our mind on the things which are above. Right? I don't know if you remember what we covered 2 days ago on this same line, but it was about the peace of Christ. Right? Learning to know the peace of Christ. And then what was yesterday? Do you remember? Receiving the Word of Christ. So the peace of Christ, the Word of Christ. Now, an interesting thing about both of those, the verses, which are Colossians 3, same chapter, verses 15 and 16, it says, in verse 15 it says, let the peace of Christ. In verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ. All right, so it begins with this word, let. Let. But this morning, the word is not let. The word is set. Okay, it doesn't say, let your mind drift to the things which are above. But it says, set your mind on the things which are above. Okay, this is very important. Where does it say in the Bible that we should turn to our spirit? All right? It's not in the Bible. That direct phrase is not in the Bible. Where does it say in the Bible that you should exercise your spirit? Huh? Okay. Yeah, it says be burning in spirit, that's right. And it says exercise yourself unto godliness. But there is no direct phrase in the Bible that says exercise your spirit. All right? But what does the Bible say? It does say set your mind on the Spirit. Right? That's Romans 8:6. And also here in Colossians 3, it says, set your mind on the things which are above. All right? This is a very strategic thing, and we really want to see this. So, in Roman numeral 1, let's read it all together. Since we died and were raised together with Christ, we are in ascension with Christ in God. All right, where are you?
In ascension with Christ in God.
And let me read to you point A. It says, to be in ascension means that our life has been hidden with Christ in God. And point one, all right, we have the position, underlined position. We have the position of ascension. However, if we continually set our mind on the things that are on the earth, even our ascended position will do us no good. All right, here's an illustration, okay? We're learning, okay? None of us has arrived. We are learning. We're learning to set our mind on the things above. But it would be really, where we are makes a big difference. Our position, all right? For instance, if I grew up or if I was in Antarctica, you know, it would be easy to set my mind on the things of Antarctica. You know, whatever, the penguins, ice fishing, whatever. But it's easy because I'm there. I'm in Antarctica. But now, say, I get transferred to Hawaii. Right, there's a brother here from Hawaii. But what if I get, you know, supposedly Hawaii is paradise. It's not really. But, you know, there's no comparison between living in Antarctica and living in Hawaii. But I can make that transfer to Hawaii, but I could still, my mind could fully be set on penguins, ice fishing, igloos. I'm in Hawaii. I should be out there on the beach. I should be enjoying the breeze, the palm trees, you know, the warm water, the warm, clean water. But I'm still, in my mind, I'm still in Antarctica. That's what we do, all right? We have been transferred. We are with Christ in the heavenlies. But many times, we're in the best position to enjoy the Lord, consider the things above, which is actually just one thing, which is just Christ. But we're still, our mind is still in Antarctica. We're just the things of the earth, the things. But we have the position, so there's no excuse. We all have the position. Where's our position? We are in ascension. And then number two, it says, if we believe in Christ's ascension and continually set our mind on the things above rather than on the things on the earth, we will not only be in the heavenlies objectively, we will also be in the heavenlies subjectively. Again, with this illustration, you know, actually, we're all here physically in this meeting, but we all know many times in our mind, we're not here in this meeting. We may be, you know, in next week, our mind may be next week. What am I going to do? What do I need to do? But that's why we need to set, all right? We need to set our mind. It's an exercise. Our mind will always have a tendency to drift, but we need to set, all right? Set our mind on the things above. Okay. What you set your mind on is how you will live. All right. Another way to put it is where you look is where you live. If I'm looking at the Lord, if I'm looking to the heavens, then that's how I live. I live a heavenly life. But if I'm looking at the things of the earth, then I am living the things of the earth. Where you look is where you live. Another way you could put it is what you see is what you will be, is how you will live. All right. What you see is where you will be. It's how you will be. If our eyes are on the Lord, seeing the Lord, then that's where we'll be. That's how we'll live. All right? This is such a strategic thing, setting our mind. All right, B. How about the sisters? Why don't you read capital B? Okay, how often should we set our mind on the things above? Yeah, at least daily. At least daily. Because we have died, resurrected, and ascended with Christ. Now here's another good word. We ought to seek. Seek the things which are above. What are we seeking? Here in college, especially if you're an incoming freshman, you got 4 years ahead of you. You're excited? What are you excited about? What are you seeking? All right. What we seek is what we will set our mind on. All right. If we seek the things above, we will daily set our mind on the things which are above. And point C, brothers, let's read C together. We should no longer be concerned
with the things on the earth, turning our attention to the things in heaven. God in the heavens should be the sphere of our living.
Amen. Another really good word. In this point, yeah, sphere of our living, definitely. The word that touched me was concern. Concern. What are we really concerned about? You know, is We could be in the church life, but really our concern is not. We're concerned about other things. We do, you know, we're there. We check all meeting, check Lord's table, check Bible study on campus, check full-time appointment, check. But you know, it's you know, if I miss, it's. But I'm really concerned when it comes to my 4.0 GPA, or I'm really concerned about this and this. Where's our concern? What are we really concerned about? And where our concern is, that's where we're setting our mind. All right, that's what we're concerned for, is where our mind is set. That's what it is. And but what should it be? Should God in the heavens should be the sphere of our living? All right, God. Okay, when we say the things above, we're talking about God in the heavens. We're not talking about angels, heavenly mansions. We're talking about God.
Amen.
Okay. Okay. Now, point one. This is a really good point. And I want us to open our Bibles to Luke 13:11. Luke 13:11. All right. Let me read it to you, but follow along. It says, "And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bent double and could not stand erect at all." All right? And point one says, we need to forget the earthly things. What should we do for the earthly things? Forget it. The world, culture, religion, philosophy, and the natural human virtues. And what should we do? Lift up our eyes. What should we do? That's right. Lift up our eyes to the heavens. Lift up our eyes. Now, how does Luke 13:11 relate to forgetting the earthly things and lifting up our eyes to the heavens? All right. I'm going to just, I hope this illustration works, but Joseph, I'm going to use you. You. All right. First of all, do you know what it means to be bent double? Okay. Okay. To be bent double means you have your upper torso and your lower torso. In other versions, it translates it bowed together. Bowed together. That means your upper torso is touching your lower torso. So I don't know if you're flexible, but it's not just, you know, sometimes you see pictures of beggars going like this or something, but actually bent together means like this. All right? Try. Okay. So here's what happens, okay? Obviously we're standing erect. It's easy to look at the things above, right? It's very easy. But we get weighed down, all right? Okay. So, you know. Okay. All right. Hold on. Okay. So basically, what happens? Joseph is here. He's in school, and he's by himself. It's 11 p.m., and he flips on the computer, and then 2 hours of Facebook, all right? And while he's on Facebook, you know, there's a lot of YouTube videos, so then he gets on YouTube, all right? And then he ends up, all right, here's something heavy. All right, then he ends up chatting online with friends for a couple hours, just gossip. All right. They start talking about USC football. That brings them to ESPN. All right. So yeah, bend over like this. All right. He just he's just got so stirred up because USC's on football probation for 2 years. So he needs to relax. And so he listens to Lady Gaga. Now it's 8 o'clock and he's living in the brother's house, and it's time to lift up your eyes to the heavens. Brother, wake up. Let's enjoy the Lord. What can you see? Can you see the Lord? Okay, I think you get the point. It's you can redistribute this. Thanks. But I think you get the point, okay? We really might be desiring to see the Lord, to behold the Lord, to look at the things of the Lord, but in our daily life, what we're actually doing is we are bending ourselves double. So we can't. We just there's just too much weight. All we can see is the earth. No matter how hard I try, I'm just weighed down. All right. Oh Lord Jesus, amen. I'm guilty. I point the finger at myself. Amen. Lord Jesus. Okay, now here's something really serious. Okay, you know, in Luke 13:11, what was the reason why this woman was bent double? What was the reason? Yeah, it says she had a spirit of infirmity. All right, and that means a demon. That means demon. All right, you know what? Looking at earthly things is related to demons. All right, it's related to demons. We may think, oh, you know, just an hour of this, an hour of that, another hour of this, another hour. Actually, our looking at the earthly things is related to demons. Okay? Now, I want to read you another verse. Matthew 16. This just blew my mind. All right, Matthew chapter 16. This is verse 23. Let me read it to you, okay? But pay attention. This is what he said. The Lord was here, and he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." And what does it say at the end there? "For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." Whoa. All right. Setting your mind on the things of the flesh? Setting your mind on the things of sin? No, that's not what it says. It says, you are setting your mind on the things of men. On the things of men. That's the earthly things. But what happened when Peter set his mind on the things of men? He became Satan. He became Satan. That's serious. Okay? We might think, oh, again, just a little of this, a little of that. But actually, when we're setting our mind on the things of men, we actually become one with Satan. We become one with Satan. All right, that is a serious thing. Lord, save us.
Amen.
Lord, save us. Amen. Save us from setting our mind. All right, we definitely don't want to end with setting our mind on the earthly things, but we would like to end with setting our mind on the heavenly things. I'm watching my time, which is almost up. But I want to present. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag a little bit early. We were going to do it the next meeting, but maybe during this college training, you might be touched by the Lord. For Charles, it's different than me, but we all have our own earthly things. So for some, it's their 4.0 GPA that they lose sleep over every night. For others, it's whether or not the USC football team is going to win the next game. Everybody's different. We all have our earthly things. But let's really open to the Lord for the Lord to shine on us concerning what, you know, if we were going to write out minute by minute everything that we thought about today, for everything we thought about yesterday. I don't think any of us would be comfortable, first of all, to do it publicly. But what's in there? What's going through our mind? What's going through our mind? And let's not introspect, but let's just open to the Lord. Lord, what do I set my mind on? What am I really concerned with? What am I really seeking? And tonight we will. We're going to have a gathering. We're going to have some bonfires. All right, that's the special fellowship. And it may be that the Lord might be touching you about particular things. And we don't have a particular agenda. We're just going to enjoy the Lord, sing, pray. But if the Lord is really touching you, again, not just. But the Lord, it's the Lord really touching you. You may write something down on a piece of paper, or you might, several things, or a note card or something. You might want to just, you know, throw it into the fire. That's just kind of a clearance, a fleeing, a consecration to the Lord, just to do our best. We're not perfect, but we all have these kinds of things, and we just want to open to the Lord and allow Him to strengthen us, to set our mind not on those particular things which really occupy us, but on the things above.
Amen.
Where Christ is. So let me finish. Let's see. In point two, it says, whenever we are in the flesh, we are dead in our offenses and sins, living an earthly life when we're in the flesh. Okay, point three says, whenever we are in the Spirit, we are raised up and have the sense that we are in God and living in God. Definitely, our spirit is connected to the heavens, our spirit. Point four, only when we hold the head by abiding in the Spirit do we have the experience of being dead to the elements of the world and dead to the elements of the world. Isn't that, you want to be dead to the elements of the world?
Amen.
That means you can't, even if you wanted to, you can't do anything to pursue the world. And of being raised to live with Christ in God.
Amen.
So what is it? It's by holding the head, by abiding in the Spirit. Okay, just two quick things, and I want to give the time for Samuel. Yesterday was on letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. I tell you, that is a big key to setting our mind on the things above. Memorizing the Word, I guarantee you, if you're a person who is memorizing the Word, filling your mind with the Word, you will live like the Word. Quick illustration, shortly after I got married, I went on a spring break trip, and you know, it's not easy to be separated from your, if you're newly married, from your wife. So I was coming back and I was, you know, really looking forward to see my wife again. And but when I got to the airport, she wasn't there. In fact, she hadn't left the house yet. And so I was just, you know, I was disappointed. I was at the curbside, beautiful LAX, lots of traffic and honking, and I was just like, I was just in my mind, just, you know. But I just happened to be practicing to memorize the Word. And so instead of just, I was just like, why isn't she here? What happened? I mean, come on, I've been gone for, you know, a long time, and now she's not even here. So, then I just started to recite the Word, recite the Word, recite the Word. And instead of chewing her out when she finally did come, there wasn't that at all. It was just, I was enjoying the Lord. I was enjoying, that was setting my mind on the things above. And so I lived it when she came. I didn't, you know, chew her out. Anyway, letting the Word. And staying with I tell you what, when I'm by myself, it's really easy to set my mind on the things of on the earth. But when I'm with the brothers and sisters, there's a big protection. And also, we'll talk about this. I'm going to let Samuel... One more verse, okay? John 4:35. And then Samuel will come up here. Let's read this verse. John 4:35 says, "Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then the harvest comes? Behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes." Amen. What do you see when you lift up your eyes? You see Christ, right? But what else do you see according to this verse? "You lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Right? When we lift up our eyes, surely we see the Lord, but also we see the fields. And if we're involved in the fields, if we're working the fields, contacting people, shepherding people, we have some ones we're caring for, I guarantee you that's where our mind will be set. We'll be concerned about them. We'll be caring for them. Lift up your eyes.
Amen.
The fields are white. Okay?
Let's read the subject together. And then let's read the focus.
Amen. So it was very good. Our brother shared with us all these points. And I enjoyed you sharing in the beginning, right? Our real position is in Hawaii. However, our mind may be in Antarctica still, right? And so I'd like to get into the second point here, second Roman numeral. Our position as Christians, what is our position? And I was enjoying recently that the issue of our salvation is what? We overcome sin a little bit. We get, freed from sin and we get redeemed. We also enjoy the Lord's life. The Lord's life comes into us. But the final point of our salvation is what? It's that we are men of ascension.
Amen.
Our position is in ascension.
Amen.
We experience maybe in our daily life a little bit of looking into the earth and getting drawn back to the earth. But the actual position that we are in is ascension.
Amen.
We are men of ascension.
Amen.
Let's declare that all together.
Amen. We are men of ascension.
Our mind, though, however, really determines where we are. It is objectively a fact, but subjectively, we do get drawn back down to the earth. And so what we need to do is, like our brother said, is where we look, that's where we will be. What we look at is what we will be involved with, right? And so we need to look and live at the things that are above. Now, what are those things? If you ask some, they may, what's above? The heavens are above, the mansion, some of your friends might say heavenly mansions, although that's a joke. Pearly gates, golden streets, and even it's very degraded. Golf course. A golden golf course. Maybe that's above. That's what we're looking at one day. That's our hope. Anyways, the things that are above are not those things, right? What are the things above? And I enjoyed here in Roman numeral 2, let's read the things that are above. The things that are above are the ascended Christ and all things pertaining to Him. Amen. Praise the Lord for the ascended Christ.
Amen.
We love Christ.
Amen.
We hate Satan.
Amen.
I love Jesus.
Amen.
I love to look at Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, Christ, is the one that is above. And all things pertaining to Him. Amen. So, I was thinking of this. We may have... let's say we have a dad, and we know him as our dad. However, we may not know he's a police officer. He's also a basketball player, He's also maybe, he's a brother in the church, an elder in the church. So he's our dad, and we may know him in that way, but we need to go on
and enjoy and experience Him in all that He is, right? We get to know what it is to be a police officer. We get to know what it is to be, you know, what did I say, basketball player, you know? There are many aspects to Him. And this is the same with the one with Jesus Christ. We need to know Him in many different ways. Just like we covered Christ, our portion, maybe we know our portion is the Passover lamb. Maybe we know a little bit of the manna. But we need to press on to know who this Christ is.
Amen.
And all things pertaining to Him.
Amen.
We want to know all things. We want to press on into the good land to know the barley, right? To know many other things. In the same way, we know Jesus Christ, and we know Him as the one who's redeemed us, who we come to in the morning. He cleanses us with His blood. We exercise and we enjoy Him and call on His name, and we touch Him as a spirit, and He fills us with life. But we need to know more aspects. We need to know Him in His ascension. If we know Him in His ascension, then we can enter in to be men practically daily living in ascension. Okay? So who is He in ascension? He's these four things. Right? He is the glorified and enthroned Jesus.
Amen.
He is the heavenly high priest.
Amen.
He is the head over all things to the church.
Amen.
He is the one.
Amen.
Executing the divine government.
Amen.
Circle Jesus. High priest, head, and one. I hope we would make progress in our college years to know Him as each one of these things. You know, I was looking at this the first time and I said, what am I going to share about this? There's no, this is just raw truth, right? But I tell you, you need to match your experience with the truth. The more I got into the maybe dry, raw truth, oh, it was sweet. It was edifying.
Amen.
I love this one so much more.
Amen.
Okay, so this one is the glorified and enthroned Jesus. And I just like to share this. This is from Hebrews 2:9. It says, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. Okay? And this made me think of the Isaiah training, right? Message 4, the vision of Christ in glory. Lord, do we have a vision of Christ in glory? Grant us this vision, right? When you have this vision, then what? Then look at this from the outline. On this earth, remember the earthly things, on this earth, everything changes and fluctuates. But Christ remains the same today and forever.
Amen.
Hence, we should not look down at the situation on the earth.
Amen.
But we should look up to Christ on the throne.
Amen.
Do we know the glorified Jesus?
Amen.
The enthroned Jesus?
Amen.
We need to learn this, right? Sometimes in our situation on campus, things happen. Things fluctuate and change. Right? Not just in our human life, maybe in the church life that we're in. Things fluctuate and change. Maybe in the campus work as we're all entering into labor and some move on, some graduate, you know, and now we're here and things change, you know. I'm serving on a team. At one point we had 8, now we have 2. Praise the Lord! I am learning and I really need to exercise not to look at my situation, but to look at the one on the throne.
Amen.
In this way, remember Isaiah was in a depression because of his situation around him. Saints, we can get out of our depression. The things that depress us, those things are always there. They're always fluctuating. But we need to know Jesus on the throne. He is the sovereign one, right? He is the enthroned one. Let us look to the one on the throne. This is to set our mind on the things that are above. Okay, how about the heavenly high priest, right? The high priest, this is from Hebrews 8:1. We have such a high priest who sat down on the right hand of the throne. I enjoyed this. We have such a high priest. I hope we would get to know this one and we can say we have. I have a high priest. In the Old Testament, what did the high priest do? The high priest was very special. The high priest, while most of the people only stayed in the outer court, the high priest was able to enter into the Holy of Holies. Today, in the New Testament, Christ is the high priest. And he is bringing us from the earthly outer court into the heavenly Holy of Holies. Amen. I love my high priest. He is touched with the feeling of our weaknesses. He knows our every situation, and he is interceding for us. Right? The ones who he intercedes, he's very intimate. He very much has a great concern and care for where we're at. And he is bringing us from the earthly things, right, into the heavenly Holy of Holies. I love my high priest. Do you love your high priest?
Amen.
Amen. Good. Okay, so also he is the head, right? The head over all things to the church. This is from Ephesians. And I'll take out Ephesians 1:22 here. And that says, he is the head over all things to the church. In verse 23, it says, which is his body. As the head, there is a transmission to the church. If you read these verses here, it mentions that there is a transmission. This transmission is the divine power, causing us to enjoy Christ richly, making us one with him in the heavenlies. As the head, there is a supply to all the body. I'd like to know him more and more as my head. And I'd like to enter into the experience. Some of the verses in our sheets, in Colossians we'll get to eventually, talks about holding the head. And maybe when we get to testing in that part, we don't have to emphasize not. That's the first word in the verse. You can not emphasize that one, and we can start with holding the head.
Amen.
In a very strong way. Right? He is also the one who is above is the head. And we need to learn to hold the head. I really appreciated the example. You get weighed down by all these things, brothers. Maybe sometimes you get weighed down by holding the controller. You hold the controller and down. You don't see that brother anymore. You hold that controller. Maybe the controller even to the TV. You want to hold that controller. You don't get to hold that ear, you know, anyways. So we need to hold the head. Fill your hands with that head. There will be a rich supply. There will be a transmission. There will be a power flowing to you. In this transmission that flow to Christ, there is the raising power. Raised him from the dead. What kind of a power is that? There is the seating him, right? Brought him to the heavens. There is the subjecting. Everything's under his feet. And there is the making him the head of the body. This is a power that is in that head that is to the church. You hold that head, you receive that power. I want to know my head.
Amen.
Be supplied by my head.
Amen.
Then finally, he is the one executing the divine government. And this is from Revelation 4. And this is very good here. There are various aspects to the throne. There's judgment. There's also a supply from the throne. Here, this is very good to know, that the throne is the executing center. And God has a divine government and an eternal purpose, and he wants to carry out something. And so, just like the U.S. carries something out through the government, God is carrying something out through his divine government. He is the executing one. In the Old Testament, there were Levites and there were priests and they were in groups. They were the ones administrating the services in the tabernacle and in the temple, right? In the New Testament, it talks about this in Revelation, there are angelic elders who are there on the thrones carrying out God's administration. But they will be there temporarily until who gets there? The church! The church will be the one in the millennial kingdom on the thrones executing the divine government. I like to know this one today. So I will be there in that day. There's a foretaste today. Do you know the one? There is only one. We need to know the one who is executing the divine government. Okay, let's go on to Roman numeral 3. Let's read that all together.
Seek the things which are above, and set our mind on them, is to join to the Lord in his heavenly ministry and his divine enterprise.
Amen. Praise the Lord for his heavenly ministry and his divine enterprise.
Amen.
I've never seen this in an outline. Divine enterprise.
Amen.
This is so good. There is a divine enterprise. And Stephen alluded to this a little bit already. He mentioned it. And I'd just like to share my experience with you regarding this divine enterprise. And when we join to it, what we experience. I mentioned a little bit, I grew up, you know, in the church life, and eventually went to the training. And in the training, you do have breaks between your terms. And after my first term, I realized where I really was. The training is a place, a wonderful place, full of life, full of light. And you're in this wonderful environment, but then you take a break. And where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? Trainees may know. And at that time, I was very convicted of the Lord and very touched that I was out of it during my first break. And I realized, Lord, I need help. My mind is just all over the place, you know, and I just get so easily brought down into the earthly things. This was my experience. And so I had that realization, and that's okay. I'm not going to get introspective and stay there too long. But I said, Lord, help me. What do I do? You know, so I went back to the training and enjoyed another term of the training. But then the Lord was very sovereign. Oh, and I thank him so much. During my second break between my second and third term of the training, there was the full-time team in Huntington Beach laboring at the OCC campus. And they came back, and it was their first time back from their apprenticeship in Austin. And they were there, and they said, would you like to join us? Would you like to join us? And I just, sure, I'll join you. And that was the most glorious week. I think that week I was somewhat captured for my full-time serving. And so I joined them, and I was just, I mean, laboring with them. Now, I shouldn't say laboring. We didn't even labor that much. But we were just together, and I was in a team, and I was caring for the church. Caring for the students. I was involved in the divine enterprise. What was my experience that break? My experience was that I was in the heavenlies. My mind was headed up, you know. My mind was one with the Lord, right? I was not one with the earth. I was not in my flesh. I was not discouraged or depressed. I really experienced this. And so this is a real treasure to me in my Christian life. And so for you, here you are in your college years. And what can you do to enter into the divine enterprise? Well, I won't say too much, but praise the Lord, there is a student corps. And even if you don't have a student corps, hopefully there's saints where you are. You can join into labor in the church. We may share more on this later, some experiencing laboring in the church and with the church. This can be a real salvation. This can really help you to enter into experiencing your mind set on the things that are above. Okay? Amen. So let's read these things. Okay, how about you take a minute? You see here A, B, C, and D. You have all the ings, right? Living. Cooperating. Joining,
Amen.
Praying.
Amen.
Take a minute with your neighbor and enjoy those four words. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good. So praise the Lord, we can enter into the divine enterprise. And when I did this, what I experienced that I was really helped in my progress and in my growth in life, in my experience of Christ, and in my living in union with Him. This is our goal. We like to live in union with Him. This is the focus of this entire line, right? And so I'll try not to share too much about this, but you can see a progression in our experience, and this is very normal. There should be a progression. I very much enjoyed in Genesis 1, 20 through 24, you see a fish, you see a bird, and you see an ox, okay? And in the footnotes, you can look it up later, it talks about each one of these levels of life. I'm not sure exactly what the phrasing is, but there's an experience. The fish experience is the fish is in the salty sea, which typifies the world, but it does not become salty itself. This is very good. Maybe some of us have touched this, right? We go to campus and we're in the world there, but we're, you know, just swimming through, you know. Maybe we're with a flock of fish, you know, a school of fish. And, you know, we're just being saved from getting salty. And that's a good experience. However, there's the experience of the bird. The bird is off the earth. It's in the air. The bird is soaring. The bird is transcendent, right? The bird is above the earthly frustrations. So we need to progress to experience the bird, right? Sometimes we see a vision of Christ in a conference somewhere. Sometimes we like to, you know, some I know travel to Poland and they get, praise the Lord, and they're above everything. They have no problems, you know. Maybe you go to Israel for a conference. Maybe London for a conference. You soar like an eagle high above. But then eventually what happens? You come back home and you're on your campus. What do you need then? You're on the earth again. You need to experience the ox. The ox is the next experience. Many of you are right there, ready to enter into the experience of the ox. What does the ox do? The ox tills the ground, tills the soil. The ox labors and is there laboring to produce something useful. Brothers and sisters, enter into experiencing the ox. On your college campus, I encourage you, enter into the divine enterprise. Enter into the divine enterprise. Lord, bring us on in our experience to the life of the ox. You know, when you enter into labor, it's kind of like a mother with a newborn babe. That mother with the newborn babe, it's, you know, a lot of work, I hear. I don't know yet. But you know, some say that it is their salvation. Their full time, their full, you know, energy is involved with that baby, right? And it saves them from so many other things that they could just be involved with, right? And so you have your campus, and surely there will be some babies. You want to be saved from the earthly things? Get a baby. Get a new one. Right? You have a new one in your hands. Oh, what a salvation. You'll be saved from so many things. That one will be crying one day. That one will be rejoicing the next day. That one will be bruised the next, you know. That one will need to be fed. Oh, what a salvation this is to you. This is not, you know, this is a salvation to you. Okay, let's just read through these points really quickly and maybe I can give you some time. Okay, let's read Brothers A.
Living Christ and having a living that is one with Christ living.
Amen. I enjoyed when I entered in to be with the team, we enjoyed morning revival every morning. In this nucleus, you can enjoy morning revival and you can have a living, right, that is one with Christ living throughout the day. Okay, sisters B. Hebrews 7:25 says that he lives always to intercede. He is very, very busy in the heavens interceding for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can be those who cooperate with him to care for the churches. We will be very busy, and we'll experience our mind will be set on the things that are above. So learn to cooperate, to intercede, to care, right? This is our high priest. He is doing it. We become one with him. Our mind is set on the things that are above to intercede for the churches, for the students. Amen. Those on your campus. Then let's do C, brothers.
Joining with Christ today, who is living as the heavenly minister and supply the saints with the riches of Christ.
Okay, I'd just like to read this really quickly, right? He is the heavenly minister. We need only to maintain the position of ascension, right? In our daily living. We need only to be continually touching heaven in our innermost being and living in the heavenly condition, the heavenly atmosphere, which, when touched by others, will enable them to obtain the heavenly supply. This is part of the divine enterprise. We enjoy this heavenly supply. We enjoy being joined to Christ. But in that condition, we go to campus and we bring others into that heavenly condition. And let's read D, sisters. Amen. I'd just like to say, this semester we opened to have dinner before the prayer meeting, and some of the students stayed, and I think they would all testify that they touched the heavenlies in the prayer meeting. I believe many experience being brought into ascension, their mind being freed from the earth. You come into the heavens in the prayer meeting. I would encourage you, if you haven't experienced the prayer meeting, I don't know if there's any kind of way you can step up. I know sometimes it's very intense, and it's not always so easy. If there's a student prayer meeting, a coordination prayer meeting, then eventually the church prayer meeting, I tell you many times that goes into ascension. That is a wonderful experience, and that's available for you every week, right? If you ever need to get out of the earth and into ascension, go to the prayer meeting.
Amen.
So that's there also for you, available for you. So praise the Lord. May He take us on more and more to live in union with Him and help us. May we all learn to set our mind, right? By entering into the divine enterprise, our mind is set on the things in the heaven and we become one and live in union with Christ. Okay? Let's pray two by two with your neighbor.